Hello, I'm Rick Lancaster. Thank you for tuning in. Grab your Bible as we study through God's Word together. It's my hope that as we go through these messages, that we will all grow in our understanding of God's Word. As we grow in our understanding, we'll also be better equipped to glorify God, bless others, and grow faith, ours and others. If you have any questions about anything in this teaching, send me a message. I would love to connect with you. With that said, let's get into the Word and see what the Spirit would say to us today.
So, continue to pray for Pastor Rick, for his study, for David, as he gets better in his family. So make sure that you do that, please. So it has been a long time since we've done in church a prophecy update. But I will say to you that once a month we do what we call the Future Today Prophecy Update on the second or the third Sunday. And so you can always come and get a little bit of that information during the course of a month. But there's so much going on in the world that I just wanted to share a brief update of some of those things. And I say brief because hearing some of the things that I'm going to share with you today might be a little bit difficult for some, might be uncomfortable, but the simple fact is God's called us to be aware, to understand. And so let's pray over the message and then we'll get into what God's called us to do. Father, we do just lift up to you. I just, first of all, lift up Pastor Rick and his family and David and his family, that you would touch them and heal them, Father. And those that are out there that also need your healing touch, I just pray that you would do just a great and miraculous work. Lord, as we look into your word to look for future events, give us wisdom, give us understanding, Father, and just allow us to just do what you call us to do, and not only learning, but then sharing, Father. We praise you and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You ever put a puzzle together? You know, kind of fun to do that, frustrating at times, but as the puzzle comes together, there's a feeling of exuberance because I'm done, you know. It also gives us some satisfaction, and the fact is that we feel rewarded when our focus puts that thing together. That's kind of what a puzzle does. Well, from a prophetic view, the prophetic puzzle pieces are all coming together. And I put that in that way because it's important that you understand that it's not disjointed. It's all coming together towards what would be called the end times. And so before we look at just a few of those prophetic puzzle pieces coming together, I want to take you to Daniel chapter 12, reading verses 8 to 10, so you can get a look at what God told Daniel about the end times. And there are going to be three points I want you to hear from this, and we're going to go through these rapidly because I have six prophetic puzzle pieces I want to hit on today, okay? So it says, although I heard, this is Daniel speaking, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, and for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So three points that I want you to hear quickly out of these. The first is the fact that Daniel wasn't able to understand all that the Lord was telling him about the end times. It was a little bit too soon for that. It wasn't the end times right then. And so we know that Daniel didn't understand that. But what the Lord did say is that the end times, when it comes upon, you're going to understand that. The second point I want you to hear is that the wicked will do wickedly, and then they're not going to be able to understand what is happening to them and futuristically what's going to happen to them. Isn't it hard right now to watch people act wickedly, to lie, you know, through the media, to lie from some of our politicians, to watch as violence just kind of overflows. Isn't that something that's difficult for us to be able to deal with? But remember, the wicked will do wicked things. But the key in that is that they're not going to understand where they are headed. And that's something we need to understand for ourselves, that wicked people, when they're classified that way, they don't understand the future. The third point is that the wise will understand. As a Christian, we should understand the times, the future times, the eternal times. The reason that we teach prophecy is that prophecy within the Bible accounts for 25, some people say up to 30% of the word. That's a tremendous amount. That's a quarter of the word of God has to do with prophecy. Pastor Rick last week, he shared what happens when truth is rejected. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. That's out of Galatians 5:9. That's important because if we allow untruths to permeate our person, our understanding, pretty soon the whole part of who we are is different than standing on the word of God. Amen? And so Daniel was told that he wasn't going to be able to see that, but that we, as time goes along, as God's believers, we should gain that understanding. So the biggest question each of us has to answer is, what is truth? Where did we hear that? We heard that when Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? But that's a question that we need to answer for ourselves in a time when truth seems to float, you know, at least from a worldly perspective. It does not change from the word of God. And yet society is trying to make it change. And so the question that we have for ourselves is, what is truth? What do we stand on as truth? John chapter 17:17 says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. Do we believe that? Do I believe that? Do I stand upon that? Can I defend when I'm in a conversation with somebody that God's word is truth? I believe right now that God is giving his people an understanding and a calling his people to stand upon the truth. The prophetic puzzle pieces are truly falling into place, and soon, and very soon, we'll see them in the air. So prophetic puzzle pieces. In Matthew chapter 24, there are at least 12 signs that are identified as these pieces that are going to come together, okay? We don't have time to go through those 12, but we're going to try to get through 6 of those. But the signs today that we're going to look at are increasing and intensifying. Now, if you think of prophetic puzzle, the outside of the puzzle, the border, which generally is what you put together first, the first part of that is when Israel became a nation. In 1948, when the Jews went back to their homeland, that was the outline of the puzzle. And you can see this picture, and that's where that all took place in 1948. You can go there if you go to Israel and see that, and it's truly something that's special to see that exact room. The first prophetic piece that I want to look at is found in Matthew chapter 24, verses 6 and 7. And it says this, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, and we'll go on from there. All right. The first prophetic piece, wars and rumors of wars. Think about what you hear about today. Russia and Ukraine about to go to war. China and Taiwan about to go to war. Congo, Sudan, Yemen, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Turkey, Libya, Israel, and Syria. The list goes on. Each of these countries are either in war, or they're about to go to war, or they're experiencing some kind of conflict within their country. And according to the World Bank Group, the 21st century has seen a sharp increase in conflicts since 2021. And that impact on lives, on resources, and financially is staggering. Civil war is openly being discussed in many countries: Austria, Germany, Australia, Syria, Iran, and of course, in the United States. And now Canada is talking about civil war. Wars and rumors of wars are intensifying. And so when you look at that prophetic puzzle piece, it's something that you need to understand that is an indicator that that puzzle is being put together by the Lord, and we should be aware of that. The second puzzle piece is earthquakes. We see that in Matthew 24:8. And I don't know if you felt this or not, but just about 30 minutes ago, we had a 4.1 earthquake that hit in Palomar. And what's also interesting is that there were four or five other earthquakes that hit Southern California this morning. Do you know that? Well, earthquakes are ramping up. The Tonga volcano and subsequent earthquakes that hit recently, what you will see if you watch any of the overhead shots of that is an unbelievable powerful earthquake and volcano eruption that impacted the whole world. Orange County was on a tsunami alert and actually had a rise in its seas. The tsunami actually went all the way down to Peru and killed at least two people. And the damage to Tonga was unbelievable. And if you look at before and after, it's just substantial, you know. Deb and I have experienced that, and Karen as well, in Indonesia after the tsunami in 2004 when we were there. The devastation is unbelievable. In the last 365 days, 57,000 earthquakes have hit the earth. In Israel, just recently, within the last 2 weeks, there were two earthquakes that hit that prompted a rabbi to say, this is an indication that the big earthquake from Zechariah is going to hit in the near future. Here's the point. Earthquakes have been around for a long time, but you can see from the Tonga earthquake and volcano eruption, and there are many more volcanoes that are on the verge of erupting. Natural disasters are increasing, and that's one of the things from a puzzle piece, a prophetic puzzle piece, that's going to take place. But I want to spend a little bit more time on the third puzzle piece. This is not out of Matthew, it's actually out of 2 Thessalonians 2:3, and it's the falling away. In 2 Thessalonians 2:3, it says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. Then it goes on and it talks about the man of sin being revealed. And then in 1 Timothy 4:1-2, it says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. A falling away, a departing from the faith, an embracing of deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, with them speaking lies and hypocrisy. I think they're describing our world right now. This past week, Senator Ron Johnson held a roundtable, And in that round table, they were talking about events that happened after the COVID vaccine. And there are many people that talked, but this one man shared about his son. And he talked about that he wanted to do what the government told him to do, and it was important, and he was a single parent, and so he got the vaccine, and then his son decided to get the vaccine, ROTC guy, good health, and the son died. And the man said in this committee hearing, "My government lied to me. My government lied to me." You know, I don't care where you stand on the vaccine. What I do care about is the fact that lies, hypocrisy, and dishonesty are part of that falling away. Because what we don't have is a foundation of truth anymore. A falling away is a process. People departing from the faith. And when it talks about people departing from the faith, it's not talking about losing salvation, because people that depart from the faith didn't have true salvation, is what most pastors and what I believe the word says. So they don't lose their salvation, but they fall away from that foundation of the word being truth. Ultimately, if you don't have a faith in Jesus, you don't have much, because your truth waffles. It goes back and forth. Well, I want to take some time and give you some examples of this falling away. Don't be shocked by some of this, because quite honestly, we're living in a time when we're watching that falling away happen astronomically. Here are some studies that have come out. Only 15% of the population of the U.S. is evangelical today. You think about that number, because only 15, 20 years ago, it was approaching 50%, and now we're down to 15%. 48% believe that a person who is good enough or does enough good works can earn eternal salvation. So in our country, people believe that you can earn salvation. I'm not sure that that's taught in the word. 43% maintain that when Jesus was on the earth, that he sinned. My Bible doesn't say that. Don Lemon or Lamone, however you want to pronounce his name, I think he's with CNN or MSNBC, one of those. He made this statement: Jesus Christ was not perfect when he was on the earth. Now, why is that important? Well, because it's through the media that this is getting out, and some people believe that everything that's written on the media is true. They don't do their research. They don't look to find out. So a man like this, who is a man that doesn't know who Christ is, can say that, and people will believe that. 40% of people actually believe that lying is morally acceptable. So when you think about that, 4/10 of our population believe that if I lie to you, it's okay. And my guess would be, because this was taken last year sometime, that that number has even increased. And then we have pastor, and I use this term very lightly, Aaron Muser of St. Luke's Lutheran Church of Logan Square, Chicago, recently dressed in full drag for the Sunday service because he wanted to help his people understand that being a drag queen is okay. I cannot imagine Pastor Rick doing that. And you know why? Because Pastor Rick believes the word of God as we do. Finland. This is not just an American falling away, you know. And just, I don't want to burst your bubble, but America's not the center of the world. Finland puts the Bible on trial. There's a pastor and a a politician that are on trial in Finland right now because they sent out texts or they sent out a message that had to do with what a true marriage is from the Word of God. They're on trial for that. And they've called what they have done hate speech. There's a new Canadian law called Bill C-4, and it officially describes parts of the Bible as a myth. Pastor John MacArthur, he did a sermon on biblical marriage and male and female gender, and it was on YouTube, and it was removed. And that stuff is startling, but listen to this, because what Paul said in Timothy is coming upon us in the end times. In a Barna survey from 2020, concluded some of these things. Americans are now more confident about the existence of Satan than they are of God. By a 51% of Americans believe in God. 51% now. Compared to 56% of Americans believe that Satan influences their lives. When you look at the 1 Timothy scripture that talks about beginning to believe deceiving spirits, we're living in that time. So 1 Timothy 4:1 tells us that the world is going to give heed to these deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Well, here's what we're seeing. From Satan tennis shoes, and that was about a year ago, to a Satanist being allowed to lead an opening prayer at a city council meeting in Alaska, to an after-school Satan club in Illinois, there's a falling away, and it's very real. We're in a spiritual battle, and if you haven't understood that before now, be confronted with that, because the spiritual battle is something that we have to put our spiritual gear on to go to battle. I could go on with many more examples, but as you see, this prophetic puzzle piece is intensifying and it's increasing. The fourth prophetic puzzle piece is lawlessness. In Matthew 24:12, it tells us about the lawlessness. It says, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." Lawlessness. 2 Timothy 3:13 says, "But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." And then in Luke 17:26, we're told that as in the days of Noah will be the time of the coming of the Son of Man. If you go back to Genesis 6, you read about what it was like in the days of Noah. And the bottom line was it was filled with violence. Aren't we seeing that increase? It causes us to take a good look at what's going on in our faith, or it should cause us to do that. Here's some examples of lawlessness. Police officers being ambushed and killed. Violent riots in cities that destroy millions, some even think billions of dollars in buildings and goods. To be able to walk into a store and take $900 worth of material and goods with no consequences. A teenager in New York shot a police officer, is now out on bail because our laws allow it. There's a desire to reduce police forces throughout the United States. Trains in LA being robbed and ransacked, and according to the Union Pacific, 160% increase in trains being robbed. fact, the Union Pacific said, we're going to have to stop going to LA because that's what happens. Murders and shootings are up 44% in some cities. And as Matthew 24:12 says, the love of many will grow cold. The lawless prophetic puzzle piece is increasing. And if you go back to Daniel, it says, remember that the wicked will do wickedly. If we believe it's getting worse now, though, think about after the rapture. After the rapture and the taking away of the Holy Spirit, that's going to be commonplace. It's a scary thought, and that's why the wicked really don't understand. And then the fifth prophetic puzzle piece is one that we're all aware of. Out of Matthew 24:8, it says that there will be pestilences. Pestilences. You know, a few years ago, we would think about some kind of disease going around, but who would have ever thought that COVID-19 would stop the world from functioning? Wouldn't have thought about that. But it's very important because COVID and all of its variants are impacting our world. And prophetically, I believe that it's preparing us for the true end times. It's preparing the world for the tribulation. Why do I say that? Well, there are several items I want to share with you that have been impacted by the pestilence called COVID-19. The first one is the mark of the beast. We know about the mark of the beast, the number on your head, your arm, your hand. Well, what we don't really think about is the fact that several companies now have a chip already developed that can be implanted into your hand or a part of your body to store and communicate your health information, your financial information, where you go, how you live, all your connections, and it's ready to go. In fact, the developer said, it's not a matter of if this is going to be implanted, but it's a matter of when. And so the mark of the beast, the technology is already there. It's not a matter of it getting developed. It is developed. And it's getting more and more refined as time goes along. Amazon has a palm reader that allows you to scan from your hand all the purchases that you make. Why is that significant? Well, it's preparation. It makes it easy for people. In fact, in Sweden, they've already implanted these chips. And what some of the Swedish people say is it's so easy. I can open my office door. I can buy things. I can do this or that. You know, it makes it easy. But easy is not necessarily the right way to go, is it? But it's desensitizing our world, not the United States only, our world to the mark of the beast. And then the one world government is openly discussed now. Gordon Brown, a former UK prime minister, said this: a global government needs to be developed to address the COVID and financial issues facing the world. Antonio Guterres, a UN Secretary General, says, global governance may sound lofty or abstract, but it is not. Prince Charles, at a recent climate change conference, encouraged the attendees to embrace a one-world government, telling them that trillions of dollars must be set aside for it. Preparation. What COVID has been allowed to do is to prepare the world for what is coming. Emmanuel Macron from France, he's a big proponent of the one world government because many believes he wants the position of leader. He thinks he should be, actually. So the one world government is openly being discussed. What about the one world religion? There's a one world religion complex that is blessed by the Roman Pope and is being built now in the Middle East and expected to be inaugurated in 2022. It is called the Abrahamic Family House. And once it's constructed, it'll be ecumenical. Islamic, Hindu, Buddhists, Christians, whoever they are, and Catholics will all be a part of this one world religion. You can see that the COVID pestilence has begun to change the thought processes around the world. It's allowed also for the attack upon the church and Christians as well. Do you ever think that a government around the world would forbid churches from meeting? I mean, even in my largest thought processes, I could never come up with the fact that the government would tell us that we couldn't meet. But you think about that, and the fact is that that's an attack upon the church. God doesn't want the church not to meet. There are now Christian preschools around the Western world, and particularly where licenses are being taken away from church preschools. It's due to the mask mandate. It's due to the fact that they can because the state licensed them. And then there's a man by the name of Albert Moeller, who is a prophecy guy. And he says, this is nothing less than an attempt to coerce our churches into total capitulation to the moral revolutionaries and the LGBTQ movement. What is he talking about? There's a city council in Indiana, probably India too, but in Indiana, and their proposal is that they would penalize anyone who talks with minors to help them overcome unwanted same-sex attraction or gender dysphoria. Why is that important? It's important because as a parent, if you have a child that comes home, and just so you know, there are schools that are starting children thinking about becoming transgender from the school district themselves. But they come home and they say that you need to look at what God says about male and female, the gender, you know, as opposed to being a trans. A parent could be arrested for that. People that obtain a religious exemption are being tracked by the United States government. 18 agencies are tracking anybody that gets a religious exemption from getting a vaccine. So what has the COVID pestilence done? It's demonstrated that people will give up freedom for a sense of safety and government protection. It's important that we just understand that our world has changed. Normal, I don't know what that is anymore. There is no new normalcy. We're not going back to where we were at 15 years ago. So what is going to happen? You can see that this pestilence, while not, you know, the end time of all, but it's a proving ground. It's a preparation ground for time of tribulation and leading us into that tribulation. Now, before I share the last puzzle piece, I want you to understand only five of these, or six when I'm done, could I share this morning. And there are a lot more that are going on. We haven't touched on the Gog-Magog war and how that confederacy is coming together, but it's coming together quickly. Russia and Iran are in talks and treaties and just doing unbelievable interactions and war games. They've done about three or four now together, including China. Turkey's a little bit interesting right now because their economy is so poor that they said you had to take a wheelbarrow full of the Turkish lira to buy a loaf of bread. So Turkey is having some difficulties. But you know what helps an economy? War. It helps bring it out of the devastation of an economy that's gone south. We haven't talked about Israel and the Syrian conflict. But boy, is there a lot going on between Israel and Syria right now. Isaiah 17, which we'll talk about at a different time, talks about the destruction, the total destruction in one night of Damascus. Honestly, there's a lot that could happen even tomorrow with Damascus, because Iran is bringing all kinds of weapons and hiding them in and around Damascus. Also, Israel and Iran. Iran is this close to being able to get an atomic bomb, a nuclear bomb. Why is that concerning? Well, they've said that they'll use it to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. And so Israel has said that will not happen. We're that close to seeing some things happen with that. So there's a lot still going on. But what's really important is the fact that you are becoming aware of these things, and God's going to call you to share that with another probably soon. I brought my phone up here because I wanted to do something I've never done before, and that is to read a few things that I just saw this morning, okay? Earthquake, a magnitude 6.4 earthquake shook the Kermadec Islands in the South Pacific. That happened this morning. And then North Korea just launched another missile. Russia is beginning to send large quantities of units of blood to the Ukrainian border. And then my point is that this just came to me this morning. And so you can see that the world is in an uproar. So the last puzzle piece that I want to talk to you about this morning is the rapture. The rapture is a great thing to be thinking about. It's the sixth puzzle piece. And for Christians, it'll be the last puzzle piece. Matthew 24:36 says, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." You see, only God the Father knows the time of the rapture. Could it happen today? Absolutely. I pray so. Jesus told his disciples that they would know the meaning of the weather, but one of the things they didn't understand were the signs of the time. He said that in Matthew 16:3. And on several other occasions, Jesus and then the Apostle Paul told their followers that they needed to be ready. Luke 21:36, 12:40, Matthew 16:3, Matthew 24:42, 1 Thessalonians 4:18. What the Lord was preparing us to do was to understand that we needed to be ready for the rapture at any time. And the question thrown back out at all of us, do I live that way? Do I understand the importance of that? And am I looking forward to that? As a Christian, we need to gain an understanding of these times. It's what Daniel 12:10 says. There is absolutely nothing prophetically that needs to be done before the rapture occurs. Lord, come quickly, right? I want to leave you with three action items. These are for you. I want you to take these on. Three action items. The first one, look up. Luke 21:28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. You see, Jesus wanted us to understand that this is not our home. Our home is eternal. Our home is something we need to be willing to share to anybody. But our personal responsibility is to look up, because God's calling us to look where Jesus is. Look up. The second action item is to look into the truth. John 17:17, your word is truth. Daniel 12:10, the wise will understand. You see, we need to look into what the truth is. If we're not in this book on a regular daily basis, what is our truth? TV? CNN? YouTube? What's our truth? This is our blueprint. And so your action item is to look into it. Find it. And just because Pastor Rick or any other pastor that comes up here teaches, you need to hold him accountable. Is he teaching what is truly in the Word of God? That's your responsibility. Pastor Rick is supposed to study, and we believe he does that. And I'm thankful for that. But it's your responsibility to look into the truth of the Word of God. The third action item is to look for the unsaved to share Jesus. Romans 10:14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? That's a powerful scripture. Because if you really break it down and you look at how then shall they call on him, it puts responsibility on us, each one of us. It's not Pastor Rick or any other senior pastor's responsibility to go out and save the world. That was Jesus' job. It's every Christian's responsibility to go out and be an ambassador for Christ. It's every Christian's responsibility to be ready to share what Jesus is doing in your life. Your testimony will touch somebody and bring them into a knowledge of Jesus. A few years ago, Greg Laurie did a survey of his church and found that there are, I think it was 98 or 99% of the people had never shared Christ with another person. That's not a very good thing. I would pray that if we did that in our church here, that it would be the other way. That you have been given the opportunity and you seized upon it, and you're that person that answers that question, how shall they? Here am I. Send me. Responding to what God has called us to do in these passages is to understand those things that are around us. And once we gain that understanding, it's to go and do something with it. To go and do something means we need to be in the Word. It means that we need to look up, because we're going home soon. But if we're called to give an answer and we're fearful or we're not willing, the wicked will never understand. They need our prayers. And so when a message like this comes, here's what's important. Not that you feel guilt. It's not my desire. My desire is you understand that we're in the end times. And it's rapidly increasing in terms of how often, how much is happening, and we better be ready. Christians are already under attack all around the world. In Indonesia, there many times we heard about pastors, their whole church being burned down because the Islamic people there didn't want a church in their area. We haven't seen that in the United States yet. And we say yet because if they're not willing for you to talk to your child about what male and female is, the time's coming when we may go to jail for sharing the gospel. And that Canadian bill, C-4, the pastors up there, they're not fearful. They're preparing themselves to go to jail. And it's a 5-year sentence on them. What is God calling you to do? I think these three action items: look up, look into the word, and look for somebody to share the gospel. God loves you so much, he gave his son for you. But you know what else he does, loves you for? He loves you enough to use you. Think about that. He loves you enough to use you. I don't care if you can preach the word from a pulpit. You can share your story. You can share how important it is that God loves you. That will touch another. Look up, look into, and look for. Those three action items are yours this morning. Let's pray. Father, what a blessing that it is that you give us the opportunity to hear your word. Thank you for beginning to prepare us, Father, for what's coming. Help us, Lord, to truly understand that you have redeemed the time and that we need to look up and keep our thoughts and encouragement knowing we're going to be united with you. I pray, Father, that as you have given us the word, that we would see that as something so important to look into every single day. And then, Lord, I pray that you would give us, this church, this body, anybody that's listening, the encouragement to go share the gospel with another. You are God. There is no other. We worship you, Father, and we praise you, and we thank you that you have blessed us with this knowledge to go forth. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody watching or even here that doesn't know you, that today would be the day of their salvation, that they would commit their life to you by calling upon your name and Jesus as their Savior. And I pray, Father, that if there's somebody that's listening that is struggling in their walk, that this would encourage them to truly seek after you. Lord, I pray for this world. I look and I see wicked people doing wicked things. And what grieves your heart grieves ours. And yet, Lord, you call us to be in prayer over them. And we do pray for this world. I pray for this country that today, Father, you would speak to many hearts and they would find Jesus Christ. Bless this church to be a blessing, Father. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from God's Word. It's one of my core beliefs that the Bible or Word of God has the power to transform our lives. It's my hope that these messages will help you to do just that and to glorify God and bless others and grow faith. If there's anything that we can do to help you with that, don't hesitate to connect with me. You'll find ways to do that in the show notes. In the show notes, you'll also find links to my sermon notes and other resources to help you in your study of God's Word. And sometimes we do need help to grow in our faith. If there's anything that I can do, don't hesitate to connect with me. I love talking to God's people about God and His Word. So send me your questions, and I'll do my best to answer them. This message was shared at Calvary Chapel French Valley in Murrieta, California. If you'd like more information about the church, go to calvaryfv.com. The link is in the show notes. Until next time, stay in the Word and have a radical week with Jesus.